This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words for love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
This is the last broadcast of this year, and yet Christmas is very much part of our readings for today. And Dr. Wyatt will expound on a unique event and just what is the very best gift, a gift we must have and must also give away.
Thank you, Dennis. The new year is upon us, but allow us to look again at the very best gift, as Sharon's reading takes us further in the second chapter of Luke's Gospel, as we see again reason to wonder with Mary.
There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to thy people, Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God, and spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem.
Christmas is past, perhaps unfortunately, for indeed the anticipation of it is as enjoyable in many ways as the festivities themselves. And what Sharon has read is very much about anticipation. In this case, the consolation of Israel, the coming of what is called here the Lord's Christ, perhaps the very best gift. As dutiful and pious Jews, Mary and Joseph have on the eighth day had the child Jesus circumcised, for Mary's period of purification would then be over. And now, as part of that, and to redeem the firstborn son, they both traveled the 5 miles to Jerusalem to offer the proper sacrifices. The Lord God, from the time of his delivering Israel from Egypt, had declared that all firstborn were considered holy, that is, set aside unto the Lord, and the firstborn sons were to be redeemed, purchased back from God. It is during this simple sacrifice in the court of the women, a man comes toward them, drawn to this young family. Luke provides us with some fascinating details. which could only come from eyewitnesses. First, the man's name is Simeon, a not uncommon Jewish name. He was righteous and devout, also not uncommon, and as well looking for the consolation of Israel. The word consolation is an unusual word used only here by Luke of our gospel writers. It means here consolation in the sense of restoration, obviously the prophetic fulfillment of what is later revealed in the phrase, the Lord's Christ. This is also something that was not uncommon, but filled the very air of Israel, Jerusalem, and the temple. What was uncommon with this Simeon was that the Holy Spirit was upon him, and the same Spirit had revealed to this man that he would not see death until he had seen the Messiah, the Christ. It was because of these two facts that he was even in the temple at this time. Luke tells us that Simeon was inspired by the Spirit to be there. We today would say Simeon was led of the Spirit. The Spirit's leading is not uncommon, or at least it shouldn't be. It is vital for us all, for growth, ministry, and yes, for life itself. Yet far too many are unaware, unfamiliar, and thus unled, unguided by the Holy Spirit, which does mean that they would miss those rare opportunities, or as in the case here of Simeon, those once-in-a-lifetime event, those times never to be repeated. As in Simeon's case, the Spirit by vision, dream, or prophetic word had let it be known that he would see the Messiah, the very hope of Israel's restoration, before he was to see death. It was for this moment that he was led to the temple on this day at this time, a day much like any other, nothing to mark it as special as of yet. The text leaves much to the imagination, but it is not hard to envision Simeon upon seeing Mary and Joseph with the child, that the Spirit quickened in him the assurance, the confidence that this child, this infant, in the arms of his mother, was none other than that great gift. It would take such divine assurance to walk up and take the child in his own arms, and then begin to pray, clearly audible, and to more than this little group. He properly first addresses the Lord God, for he blessed God, meaning that Simeon expressed thanksgiving and praise to the Lord God, for as he says, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. His exhortation in prayer uses images from the prophet Isaiah, but more it is directed at a particular infant. Perhaps in good Jewish style, he would lift the infant up into the air for all to see. And what is said are words that originally referred to the Lord God and his suffering servant, but are now addressed to a newborn child. Of course, the mother and he who will act as father will marvel at what was said. Mary would certainly recall the words of the archangel just 9 months before, and then the words of Elizabeth. But all of these were very private. But now it is all very public. It is now shared with all the people. It is an unusual moment, one thankfully remembered and passed on to us by the diligence of one Luke, our author. Yet there is more. Obviously, returning the child to his mother, Simeon blesses these two young people. They have an astonishing responsibility, for, as he said, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. Cryptic, yes, even mysterious words, and a portion, clearly prophetic, directed to Mary herself. This child will be a rock of offense to many. yet the salvation also for many more. It is He, His life and ministry, which is to be the great dividing line, the dividing two-edged sword, if you will, that divides family, communities, and nations. It has always been so. As Jesus Himself will relate later in this very gospel, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Henceforth in one house will be five divided, three against two, and then later father against son and mother against daughter." And these words of Jesus clearly imply more than merely households, but all people. There are to be but two people, those saved and those not, those who believe in Christ and those who do not, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and those whose names are not there at all. Not unexpectedly, all this attracts attention, and drawn to the scene is one Anna, whose life, like Simeon, has been centered in the redemption of God's people. For she will collaborate the words of Simeon. We are told she is a prophetess. This is saying a great deal. She was a prophet when prophecy was supposedly silent. More, we are told in specific details about this woman, Anna. There is to be no mistakes. We are to know exactly who she is. Daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, a widow after just 7 years of marriage, and now 84 years old. And she did not depart from the temple, but worshipped in prayer and fasting, both night and day. We are left as to no doubt as to her existence. These are not just the kind of people one commonly meets, not in our church services, nor certainly in the world. Here are two in whom their entire lives are focused, if not consumed, by the acts of God in and about Israel. Anna's fasting and prayer would be centered in primarily one thing, the much hoped for and long anticipation of the consolation of Israel, the appearance of the Lord's Christ, the redemption of Jerusalem. And now at this moment, the dreams, visions, hopes are all met in one child. They have beheld the very salvation of God, the very best gift. A salvation that in its expression in Aramaic and in Greek extends far beyond some narrow perception of, say, just conversion. This is wholeness, well-being, for always to the ancients it meant a wellness physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It does seem that in our modern perceptions, we see salvation so confined, when salvation is to encompass the entire man or woman. This is what Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, saw, and what Anna confirmed prophetically. A consolation, a redemption that touches all facets of one's existence. A divine act, a great gift that has been prepared in the presence of all people. Yes, again, we are to know that God's plans in and through Israel includes the world. A light, a revelation to the Gentiles, and a glory for God's people Israel. We should not miss what Simeon has said. His song or poem harmonizes with that earlier angelic message on the hills that evening not long ago outside of Bethlehem. "For unto you is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth among men in whom God is pleased." Now is added that the glory is that of Israel's very existence, its reason for being. Here is the revelation that the light of truth, the light that dispels the darkness, the light of God's redemption, is also unto the Gentiles, that God has deemed to use the history, the calling, the faith of Israel to bring the revelation that is the Lord God and His Christ to a world in darkness, that this prophecy, all that we celebrate at this time of year, the angelic announcements, the unique births, the necessity of angelic hosts adding to it all, it is all so wondrous. No wonder Mary and Joseph marveled. Simeon's closing warning, that this child will in time be a divisive element, some to fall, others to rise, and that this all will touch seriously Mary's very soul, that ultimately this consolation of Israel, this purpose of God, will be as a sword piercing her, and that this opposition to him will come from his own people. Yet what has been confirmed by both prophets is that of a new life, more a new world. In biblical language, a new age has been born in this infant, quickened in Mary by the Holy Spirit, the very best of gifts. All of this, the birth, dedication, even Mary's purification, is unlike any other. It is all astonishing, even magical. It is God making his purpose a reality. It is what is our faith, what we call Christianity, and what makes this religion so unique. It is unlike any other, which is what you should expect of a revelation from God. It will stretch us beyond our comfort zone, beyond our understanding. But then, do we really want a God we can grasp, a divine grace and mercy we can understand, and salvation that is all too common? Such would be of our invention, not God's revelation. I know a religion that demands obedience, submission, certain sure practices and rituals, what amounts to emptying of one's mind, would be easy, perhaps comfortable, but it would be oh so common. It is about relationships, a sense of awe, joy of worship that lifts and inspires and is meant to leave us with a sense of another world. Here is described the wonder, beauty, and power that initiated it all. Now we are to embrace what Anna has confirmed, to give thanks to God, and to speak of him to all who are looking for, desiring for themselves and others, this great gift of God's grace in this child. This is, of course, the greatest gift. Yes, it is impossible to put this under some tree, but it is the gift of he whose birth we celebrate. The only gift that really counts, a gift we must give away so that we don't lose this gift for ourselves. Oh Lord, let us take hold of the gift that is this child that grew in favor with God and man and brought redemption to all the world. Lord, this we need to share, for in your time, thy kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, and thy glory will cover the earth, all because of the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
This is our last broadcast of this year, and we do want to wish all of you the very best for the coming new year. May our Lord bless you with joy, wonder, and always the knowledge of his incredible love. That's the best gift. And for the last time this Advent season, Thomas is offering his study, The Advent of Christ. Here is the reason for the season and why it is so important that we fully understand why its truth is so vital. Just write and ask for your copy of The Advent of the Christ. Well, dear ones, we want you to know just how much we appreciate you and all of our friends who support this ministry with your prayers and, yes, your kind gifts. And to those of you who are not yet a part of the Wings of Healing family, we pray that this new year you would consider making a resolution of becoming a supporting member of this ministry, which enables us to proclaim the Word of God on your wonderful radio station and to underwrite our children's homes and evangelists in many parts of our world. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. As this year ends, we want to thank all our partners and all who pray for this ministry. We are here for you, as this note from Ruth of Baltimore, Maryland testifies. Dr. Wyatt, you have written me so many times, just guiding me through this time of torment to victory. I love your ministry of concern for each of us and the time you take to inform us scripturally as well as spiritually. It has enabled me to mature and rectify my situations. In this all, you have been a great help, and God has undertaken. And through this all, I have praised God. We are all thanking God with you, Ruth. And if you have a prayer request, do write. Dennis will provide our addresses once more. But now Kendra Lynch performs this original Advent song, Little Child. And please do join us again right here next year.
Sweet little child, so much lies before you. The weight of the world you soon will bear. Sweet little child.
As we close this broadcast, our last for this year, we extend to all a happy new year, one of happiness, well-being, and always a challenge in our lives as Christians. Do remember the Wings of Healing International Ministries in your prayers and also graciously in other ways. We remain dedicated to continuing to proclaim the truth of the gospel with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. So please do write. And remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available. And for the last time this season, Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his book, The Advent of the Christ. Now, this is a scriptural look at the authenticity of the birth of our Savior and an enjoyable digression of when this possibly took place.
Just write and ask for the Advent of the Christ. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.